September 13, 2018, it's a Watt from Pedro Show. Pedro show. We started off with One Up, One Down from the Lost album, right? I think we found this John Coltrane album we recorded the day before he went to the studio with Johnny Hartman. He was the ballad set. Yeah. And then from a brand new from Garth Sager and the Hungry Ghosts, Pitbull Walk Tootsie. And my special guest, through the miracle of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, we got Garth Sager right here via London, right?
Yeah, that's right, in London. Is the connection all right?
Yeah, it is. Thank you. I know somebody else owns it now.
West London.
What's that?
We've had the hottest summer since 1976, which is when I saw the first ever Ramones gig.
Wow.
At Ramones House.
1976. In London. 1976. I graduated high school.
Right. Yeah. I don't even understand what graduation means. Does that mean you're 18?
That means you're out of 12th grade.
And does that generally mean you're 18?
Usually, I had turned 18 about 6 months before.
Right, yeah, that's the same as then. Here, there's privileged people go to university.
Oh, yeah, we got college after if you want it. Go.
Is that what you call it, college or university? What do you call it then?
Yeah, right. I think something big and fancy is more of a university, and maybe college is smaller. Yeah, a university could have several colleges.
Yeah, but we went to the College of Punk Rock, baby.
That's right. And you got a brand new record. It's called Juicy Rivers. What's this title? No, first, let's talk about Hungry Ghost, because this isn't the first Hungry Ghost record.
Well, there's been two other kind of, I suppose I would say solo Garth Sager records where I sing. So, like, they're saying this is the end of this, and this guy this fantastic guy called Douglas McIntyre, who keeps the whole sort of independent music scene in Scotland going single-handedly, almostly. It's put out on his Creeping Bent label. So he's saying it's a triptych in the sort of artistic thing. And, so I've done two others. But this is maybe the sort of fruition where I've really sort of stuck. I've done something I've never ever done before. I've just stuck to bass and guitars. There's no freaky saxophone or clarinet or found sounds or anything. I've made about 20 hours. Well, I suppose I've done solo piano, but you know, this is seriously restricted for me. So, you know, it's quite interesting to have those restrictions.
Well, like it's your version of Cream.
Well, if you hear it that way, yes.
I'm talking about Scotland, a great bass man out of there, huge influence on me, Jack Bruce.
Jack Bruce, what a wonderful man! Hey, you know, every time he talks, he's got that real groove, hasn't he? He's really got it, that guy. Yeah,
big influence on me. First time, it was really difficult though because I only had 8 tracks. You know, you can't put the needle back on an 8-track.
Right.
So it was a little difficult.
It was hard to learn, but he started as a double bass player, didn't he? He was proper.
I think he went to college or university and actually started on cello.
Right,
And you know the big difference there, they're tuned in fifths. So your moves are much more dramatic. And he was quite a dramatic player.
Yeah, he's somebody, to be honest, that I learned to appreciate once I got older, because all that Cream and stuff was still, you know, that was really, I didn't dig any of that stuff when I was a teenager. You know, I liked Dr. Feelgood and Alex Harvey and Iggy Pop and David Bowie and James Brown and, you know, funk stuff.
Sure.
And all that hairy music, that music that's going to, they got, you know, their hair dangled down to their G-strings.
That's right. You know, actually, they were very early on. They only lasted like a year and a half, 2 years.
I know. Yeah. Then Ginger's heroin problem got the better of him.
Absolutely. You know, I read something where Eric Clapton said he was grateful to Jack Bruce to teach him how to sing using all your chest.
Right, yeah. Well, that's something I haven't learned. You know, I just croak the right direction and hope I hit a note, and then I'm happy that day.
Oh, no, you're a great singer. But tell me about these guys you're playing with, the other two parts of the power trio.
Well, Ian is the guy that I've played with, this fantastic Scottish musician called Davey Henderson that had a band called The Fire Engines.
Sure, I remember.
Really well-known sort of Scottish post-punk band. And he's always sort of been, because I'm from Edinburgh as well originally, he's sort of been, I've known of him sort of thing. And then he had this brilliant band, my favourite band, biasly, of the 90s, is his band called The Nectarine No. 9, named after a Japanese brothel. If you check out their records, they're absolutely fantastic. They, you know, how people hit a real sort of purple patch. Their albums in the 90s are absolutely fantastic.
Nectarine number nine, they're called.
Ian was a drummer in them. And my great mate, Jock Scott, who had been the roadie with Ian Dury and The Clash, and then joined Rip Rick and Panic because we got much more girls in The Clash, so it's always a good reason. He was a big fan. He said, "You've got to check this drummer out, man. He fucking plays like a combination of Elvin Jones and Drumbo, you know, via the James Brown group." Yeah. So I checked him out. It's just, you know, it's like when you for me, all I'm really looking for is a great drummer.
Sure.
And this guy can really, you know, two sticks of dynamite. You know, that's what we call it. So
a big man with the stick in his hand.
Yeah, he's a musician. You know, and that's the difference. A drummer that, you know, can play guitar and, you know, he's listening out to the music all the time. So he reacts to that. He's not just laying down some gormless beat without any sort of reaction to what's going on.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so I did Slack Music, the album before this one, with him. It was just me and him. I played everything else, bass and.
How did you like doing bass?
Sorry?
How did you like doing bass?
Well, I did. A lot of the original pop group bass lines are mine.
Ah, I didn't know. You mean Simon?
Yeah, I did play bass. But then the bass player in Rip Rick and Panic, Sean Oliver, was fucking a genius on the bass. So, you know, I had a step back big time there.
Okay.
So I've had good bass players, but it's always the drummer I look to play with, you know.
Sure.
As I said, I love playing bass, to be honest. It's a fantastic thing. You know, I love it. But I'm still sort of like everything else. I'm just experimenting. I experiment with everything I do. I never, you know, got no interest in mastering which people would say that's ridiculous, but that's where I'm at. So
I don't think it's ridiculous. Yeah. I think it's righteous. I think it's, you know, keep pushing.
So I'm happy doing that. And then Ian said he had this bass player that had also played in Neptune Number 9, who was his best mate at school when he was like 11 years old.
Yeah.
And Ian, even smaller than me, and I'm only like 5'7".
Yeah.
And this guy, Dan, that he got in his bass, is 6'10".
Jesus.
And they said they were best friends at school, the smallest and tallest guy at school.
Mark Stewart.
You know, within their rhythm section, they take in every sort of, you know, they've got the whole facility within them because they're, you know, tall and small. So
yeah. I just saw a thing on Steve Marriott, Denny Lane, and those guys. They kicked the drummer out for being too tall. No, keyboard player out for being too tall. Hmm.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Roddy Lane. Yes, yeah.
Roddy, not Denny Lane. That's a guy in wings. Roddy Lane, small faces.
I got a great story that in this last incarnation of the pop group, I got my friend's son to play with us. And his name is Alexei Shrimpton. And he is the friend is the brother of Gene Shrimpton, who's the top sort of supermodel in the early 60s in Britain. And her sister, Chrissy, went out with Mick Jagger and Steve Marriott. And my friend Dan said he used to come into the house. They lived in a farm, at sort of 8 years old. And he'd see Steve Marriott, because he was so small, sat on his sister's lap.
he had an incredible voice.
Because he was so small.
Yeah, he was tiny, but that voice was huge.
I love that voice.
And he played guitar a motherfucker. Yeah. He was a hard charger. I mean, I saw Humble Pie. I didn't get to see Small Faces, but incredible.
Yeah.
Cat.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what about this name, Hungry Ghosts?
Well, it's obviously got its Buddhist connotations, and if you know your Buddhism, which you might do, I'm not sure.
I know a little bit.
Yeah. It's one of these sort of, you know, the hellish realms that you go to, which I think is affiliated with anything and everybody can relate to in this day and age. Basically, you're sucking through a tiny, tiny straw and just getting an ever bigger unsatisfied belly with whatever it is you feel you desire. And that's what a hungry ghost is.
Right.
Basically, something that is basically never, ever satisfied.
And a source big source of pain.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I mean, you know, there's not maybe too much heaviness in the name, but I just sort of wanted to introduce something that was, you know, bit more than sort of Gareth Sager and the Skin Peels or something. Like that.
And speaking of which,
I did.
Speaking of which, let's listen to "Come and Share in My World."
Tony is back. Everything under the bonnet is working. Witty, honest wheelchair user.
Loves the city. A black diamond.
Old man came courting me, I do a darity. Old man came courting me, me being young. Old man came courting me, I do a darity. Maids, when you're young, never wed an old man. When we went to the church, he left me in the lurch. When we went to the church, me being young. When we went to the church, he left me in the lurch. Maids, when you're young, never wed an old man. And when we went to bed, he lay as he was dead. And when we went to bed, me being young. And when we went to bed, he lay as he was dead. Maids, when you're young, never wed an old man. got no fool, urum, no findle, I urum, oh. He's got no ding, urum, no fiddle, I yeah. He's got no fool, urum, he's lost his ding, urum, oh. Me's when yun young never wed an old man. So when he was asleep out his bed I did creep. So when he was asleep me being young. So when he was asleep out his bed I did creep. Into the arms of a handsome young man.
It's me. I'm alive. Am I?
So I'm alone. Don't know what to do. I'm on my own. I can't see it at all. I'm all alone. Left and thrown away.
Water for Pedro show. I just got hip to the fact the video was made because Come and Share in My World, Garrett Sager and the Hungry Ghosts, they're inaudible. So that's why you make a video. I remember the 90s when bands spent more on the video than the album.
Well, yeah.
Good old days, right?
On both of these.
Yeah. Okay, then we heard Lauren, I Am a Dagger, and then Mike Rugnetta with I Am You, Part 1, Super Silent with 14.7. The Gate, brand new from Alex Shung Huntai, David Marana, and Gabriel Ferraniti. Steel House Plants, there's a Scottish band. A song called Coca. I might be doing a gig with them in February at Cafe Odo. I was invited.
Oh, right.
And then a collaborator of theirs. Yeah, yeah. Steel House Plants, that's a name, huh? And then Quinny with Old Man Came Courting Me. Old, like A-U-L-D, Robert Burns thing, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Old.
Brand new Yoko Ono. Her manager sent me an album. It's called I'm Alive, this song. And then a band from Holland he likes called Pipbloem with Alone. And finally, Sammy's Muckball. Gareth Sager and the Hungry Ghost. What's a muckball, Gareth?
Well, it's the where you live right now.
Oh, okay.
It's this earth we're revolving around on.
Yeah, that makes sense. A ball of muck.
That it was a muck ball. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Temptation said that song, Ball of Confusion.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, that all these things are sort of have a sort of poetic bent rather than a sort of black and white take on it. And that's what I love about my favorite lyrics are, you know, some people hear it one way and some people hear it another. So on the whole, I would never, because it's you, I wouldn't even give an answer like that, to be honest. It's sort of a vaguely honest one. I'd just say, well, what does it conjure up in your mind, you know?
Temptations, ball of confusion.
Shit.
Well, I thought muck might have been some kind of slang from over there. But no, it means shit over here, too. Yeah, it means shit in both places. But, yeah, lyrics can be trippy. You can even hear them wrong, right? Hey, the bathroom's on the right.
Yeah. Or
what about this one?
I heard my original version of Iggy's lyrics on Raw Power. I mean, every word was wrong. You know, but my version.
Remember that Australian band Radio Birdman? That's what they were hearing in 1970, right? Not Radio Birdman, but Radio Birdman.
Yeah.
And of course, Jimi Hendrix, the famous one, Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy.
Yeah. Well, surely that's meant to be interpreted either way, surely.
Absolutely. He had to go to England to make his power trio. I think
exactly.
It was a bass man who put it together, Chaz Chandler. A Geordie guy, right?
Yeah, the Animals manager, Newcastle guy, isn't he?
Right.
He had to quit when things got too crazy in New York. And he's had an open house policy on all his sessions.
Right.
It wasn't Newcastle, all that, you know.
You know, another bass player that quit was the Cat and the Yardbirds, Paul Samuel Smith.
Yeah, maybe.
There was a thing about that, man. You just only could go so far. Pete Quaife, too, the Kinks guy, he ended up quitting. All good bass players.
And you know your history, baby.
Well, you know, I could really hear them on the records. The U.S. rock records, they put the bass all muddy. I mean, I could hear the Motown, I could hear James Jamerson and Sly, I could hear Larry Graham. But with the rock and roll, you know, a lot of it was blurry-ass. Creedence, I couldn't hear what Stu Cook was playing. I can hear it now.
I naughtily did on that first track you played, Pitbull with Juicy.
Yeah.
That's what I did with the bass on that.
Yeah.
I made it traditional, old style, muddy, kind of that style. You know, you can't really hear the bass on that, which is actually very good. And the bass player's really pissed off with me.
Well, you're supposed to feel it, not hear it.
Yeah. Gotta tell him that.
Yeah, but you know, look, it's got strings. It looks like a guitar, but actually, the closest thing to it is the drum set, the kick drum, the toms.
Yes, of course.
That's the big secret. That's the big secret. You know, and my union card still says Fender bass, by the way, because a real bass was a giant violin, right?
Yes.
So tell me, where was
Cafe Otto? You said
what was that?
You said you played Cafe Otto.
It might be coming in February with these still, they're talking about it. They invited me to collaborate with them in
It's very much a jazz scene up there, you know that.
I got to play there about a year and a half ago. Yeah, two nights. Thurston came by and we did a spiel and also a jam, but I played with the two Italian guys I played with in El Sogno de Marinaio. And I liked it a lot.
You said those names well. Hey, did you do an interview with Cosby Kosky?
I never did an interview, but I did an interview with his wife.
All right. Linda.
Linda. She still lives here in town. Because he spent his last 14 years here. He thought Pedro people were...
I'm well aware of that. As the second head album is called Tales of Ordinary Madness. So, yes, I'm well aware of the works of Hank.
Right, he's planted here. You know what it says on his gravestone?
Don't try.
You got it. He's got a poem called that. He's got a little picture of a boxer, right? Kind of. Art Deco abstract. Yeah. But he liked it here. He said, I met him a couple times here. He's a very nice man, very kind to me. And he said he thought people were more genuine here. He checked out a lot of places to live after being uptown, and he said, I'm going to go to Pedro. So, hey, where was this album recorded?
This album was recorded. It's got the greatest name, this place. It's called Port Slade.
Oh, I like it.
It's called Port Slade, but it's actually really close to Brighton. It's on what they call the Sussex coast.
Okay.
And it was like the roughest, cheapest studio I could find because I had no money and go in and all the windows were broken and stuff. And I rehearsed with those guys for maybe about 9 months. And then I thought we had enough material to make an album. And the bass player said, oh, this guy here, he's just setting up a studio in the rehearsal room. Why don't we use him? So we got it all set up, and I was just going, you know, thought we're just going to, you know, get our bollocks out and get fucking rocking. This guy took ages to mic up the drum. God, we've lost all the momentum. Anyway, we started playing. I went back in the studio, and he had the most brilliant sound.
It does sound good.
I found 3 days later, he'd done a really long internship, come to Chicago, and done a really long internship with Steve Albini.
Steve Albini, Electrical Audio.
It's all over YouTube, is sort of hanging out with Steve Albini, teaching people how to mic drums and stuff. And he's working in this tiny little studio, you know, so
shows
all power to him, sort of give his knowledge back to the people. Very, you know, I appreciated it much, you know, he's a great guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Port Slade. Nothing to do with the band.
God, I wish, you know, I if you listen to Slade Alive, there's a couple of fantastic songs by Slade. You know, really they really know how to get down and get with it.
I saw him open for 10 years after.
Oh my God.
And but the studio albums were strange. They were strange. They were recorded very stereo, like they'd be clapping on just one side.
Right.
Yeah, really strange production. But that live record is really good. I know what you're talking about.
And do you know who their original manager was?
No.
Chas Chandler.
Oh! Is he the one? Because you know what? The helper man for the Stooges told me that they were kind of a skinhead band or something. They got an image change.
Chas Chandler told them to become skinheads. Chas Chandler was their manager through all their success,
Okay.
There you go. Oh, God, this is a rock history lesson, Mike.
Rock history. And look, we got to the end of the first hour of September 13, 2018. This is Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, get us out of here. Hold tight for hour two. September 18, 2018 is the second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Want to smack them in the face. ones that will tie with dark skies. You wish you could find them their happy place. Be with no bright days. We need to see the movement of their breath, and we never want to see us waste. It rains too easy, life is too fragile to be met all the time. So far we're still here, but we might be gone at the drop of a single dime. It can take so long to discover life in just a fucking flash to die. We think we're scared now, but fear will be worse on the day of our last goodbye. Sometimes the one that others can't help, and sometimes we wish they could. Sometimes we're the ones that can't help ourselves. If only we could, then we would. Sometimes we wish we could help someone out that needs help really. If only we could pull ourselves out, we could assist someone whose soul is sad. We are all the ones who wish we could change the gray skies into blue. We are all the ones who are helpless, there's nothing that we can really.
meditation and a journey of information.
32 beats in a minute, you know, and all that fun.
Yeah.
A second, sorry.
Yeah, like Jazz Fusion World, right?
Oh,
bunch of shit. Yeah, can't handle it. So, in a way, isn't it? Humans are weird. Oh, I should talk about it.
I've really teach myself to not slag off other people's tastes, but when you have a compadre that seems to have similar taste, then it's nice to have a good bitch every now and then, man.
Okay, I'm into that. We started the second hour off of Disco Sofa, Gareth Sager and the Hungry Ghosts, and Banzai Universe after that with Everything, The Healers, The Wands, Trans Neptunians, number 2 from Devil David Nusselhoff, featuring Soul Mad Doe, and Ain't Got the Money from the Emperor's Vice Cream. They're out of Brighton. I got to play with them last time I was there. John Howe Jr., Never Could Say Yes. Tetratoma from Haley Thompson King, Working Dog from Reese McHenry, and finally, Hey Tina, Gareth Sager, and the Hungry Ghost. Hey Tina, what's that about?
Actually, that one, this great friend of mine died, so there was a little bit of a note of respect to her in that one, I suppose. I didn't even bother changing the name. She was called Tina. Okay. So.
Have you found it hard to lose people?
Oh my God, you won't believe I've lost my best friend this year, Jock Scott, who was probably my other best friend. And everybody, you know, that's my two best friends in 2 years.
Jesus.
So, I was at a wake yesterday, actually, to be honest, and lots of people were there, Paul Cook, Mick Jones. What happens at our age, man?
I was just going to say, statistically, it takes
a little while to accept it, and we are brought up in this demented Western world that hides death under the table.
Yeah.
So you take out your insurance policies to make sure it never happens. So, you know, we've been conned, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wish, you know, what I want is like, there was this great game the Aztecs used to play. It's a sort of basketball game. I've been there. I've been down to the part of our main culture, you know, Tulum. It's near there in the jungle. And we've got this enormous sort of, it's like an enormous basketball court. And there's a little ring on one of the walls, and we had to get a sort of ball through that. Right. Imagine how long ago it was. And the great thing with this game was the winner of the game went happily to the loser of the captain of the losing team, and he beheaded him. So the loser, captain of the losing team, beheaded the winner of the other team. So the complete opposite to our concept of winner takes all.
Right.
He had lost. Him winning was the real, you know, he could now go off into eternity, you know, but he gave himself as a sacrifice to the losing captain.
Right.
Which is fantastic. And I think we should put that into the music business scene, you know, and it really helped guys like you and me.
Yeah.
So if people get to number one, we won't be so vicious that we go and behead them. But they have to swear to never, ever make music again. How about that?
You know, I want to play this song Amp to the Max.
All stupid award, all these award ceremonies.
That's ridiculous. Breaking each other's arms, patting each other on the back, right?
You've got to have them where they go and they stand up, they go, I'm very happy to receive this award. I will never hear no chance of me again.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm done. Put a fork in me. What about this song, Amped to the Max?
Well, it's a bit of a corny phrase, but that is actually one that is a little bit co-written by... The lyric and the vocal is by my friend... That's Davey Henderson from the Fire Engines. Who Mark Riley affectionately calls the greatest living Scotsman. And he's on Slack Slack Music as well, Davey. And I've been on two of his LPs, and, you know, we sort of... mix and match and do stuff together. But he always has this great phrase, and it's very Scots, that after, you know, he's had a marvellous evening and he's probably slightly lubricated, he will go up to everybody in the room and say, I fucking love you, baby. I fucking love you, man. I fucking love you, baby. So I thought that would be great for a song. So I got him to do that. But then I realised I'm not going to get any radio play because it had 50 fucks in it. And so we had to take the fucks out, which slightly loses the passion of it.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know, we both know that sort of, you know, swearing is kind of pointless in this day and age. It's all a bit sort of, it's been here and done it. To his credit, Ig was maybe the first person I ever heard it on Metallic KO. So
that's right.
But the whole hip-hop thing's
one,
done
two,
it today.
Fuck you pricks.
Yes, oh, okay. Let's listen. That blew my mind. That forced my 15-year-old brain just went out the fucking window once I heard that. So that was like, I've heard a real human being on record. You know, I can't tell you what, you know, how that influenced sort of someone like me. So it's
me
pretty
too.
You picked that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. You just saying that particular line was the... I often cite that album, and everybody goes, what is this sort of fucked up bootlegging? And I said, that's the fucking magic of it, man. You know, you can show that you can throw your cocks, I don't care. Your girlfriend will still love me. You know, so.
Here we go.
Thank you.
That was Amped to the Max, Gareth Sager and the Hungry Ghosts. And then we had the Extract with Paper Taste. After that, Dan Jones, Stone Lions, Vernes de Limbo out of Brazil with Bebada. And finally, Let's Get Loose, Gareth Sager and the Hungry Ghosts. Get Loose. You mean like loose, like the Stooges song, Loose?
You're trying to pin me to the wall, man. Okay. You know, it's to the listener's interpretation.
But I
would say, as opposed to a English gentleman with a bowler hat and a very tight tied tie, it was probably sort of the opposite to that concept. That, you know, being of the age I am, you know, brought up in the 60s and 70s, there were still more people in Britain like that. You know, Ig would have seen them a bit. There was more people like that than you can believe. I mean, they were, you know, they may have worn more relaxed clothes in America, but I'm sure they were pretty uptight.
And it was uptight. Yeah. Very square jaw. Yeah, even me being a young punk rocker, first 5 years, I couldn't let square jaws know. They'd give you too much shit. I had to keep it in my head.
Right.
It was really fucked up. And get this. More than square jaws, what about other rock and rollers, you know, people from arena rock kind of school? They really hated it. They hated it more than the squares.
Yeah. But I mean, because it's such a small world over here, you know, I was at that Ramones gig in 1976, and I remember there was only, sorry about that. There was only about 25 people that would have thought even looked like punk rock there.
Yeah.
In a big venue, because the Ramones were supporting the Flaming Groovies.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And they had, a slightly hipper crowd, but, you know, everybody was flares and long hair you know, all that crap. But, being Britain, we were pretty established our whole thing, and we were so young, you know. I mean, we didn't compromise how we looked at all to the squares, and the whole time we wore our crazy clothes the whole time, and just, I don't know, it's a funny, it's pretty unique to the British, really, that they, you know, you can be sort of vaguely eccentric and sort of be accepted. Even places like be accepted, you know.
I like that. But even the venues,
that's why so much stuff comes out of Britain. Everything's different now, but that's why so much wild stuff came out of Britain, because the sort of eccentric was accepted. Whereas, you know, where we thought the French or the Italians were really free, they were really uptight, man, you know.
Same with us. There's a saying that goes, the nail that sticks up gets hammered down.
That's the one thing you have to thank the British for.
I do. I'm very, very grateful.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Accepted it. And we went around. I never thought twice about, you know, I'd been one of the first people that would have had an earring and a Mohican and all this sort of stuff. And I didn't think twice about it, you know. And I was even wearing dresses and stuff. And God, you know, this is like 1978 some of the working men's clubs up north didn't take that so well, but there you go.
At the end of the second hour, September 13th, 2018, the Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest, Gareth Sager. Hold tight for hour three. September 13th, 2018, it's third hour, Wap for Pedro Show.
There are no maps, no paths through here. I'll Let's prove beyond a doubt how much we love life. Let's eat that first big steak that we come across. Let's take it back where we can make up for lost time. Let's hit the road for whatever we have to, but let's hit it with gusto. I'm there. How about you? Let's drive into something that we can handle. Let's hunt down to mourn if that's what it takes to find a pleasant place just to be right back home. But let's blast hell out just to get there. Leave a little burnt fire by morning. Get in just before dawn, a quiet time of day. Let's splurge on life while we got the chance. I'm there. How about you? We'll take that on, all right. Just you and I, if we have to. Let's scare the hell out of the morning because we can come back and come back strong. Let's celebrate that. I'm there. How about you?
And let your winter out. Move your lips, move your tongue about. Assemble noises to match your feelings, please. Mind reading just is not in my genes. And pack up that evil Italian digit. Save it for when your folks come to visit. Talk American, damn it, it's the language of liars. If hate were people, you'd be China. I said if hate were people, you'd be China. I can smell your anger. I can taste your dye, you bastard die. I can hear your head go tick, tick, tick. Any moment now, any moment now. Black butterfly.
Use new enemy though.
How interesting this transformation. You're more complex than I imagine. Crew below, importantly above. Almost there, one last shove. I can smell your anger. I can taste your dye, you bastard dye. I can see your head go tick, tick, tick. Any moment now, any moment now, any moment now, any moment now.
Hello, Black Butterfly.
Hello,
Black Butterfly. Thank you.
Thank you.
anybody called John is called Jock. And then there were so many Johns that I think the English started calling anybody called John, you know, Jock. You know, nobody in Scotland would call people Jock. And then then it got taken up. And also, being Scottish, if you were called Alistair as well, you got called Jock.
Oh, okay.
So it's a pretty bizarre Scottish one.
Okay.
But this great friend of mine was called Jock Scott, but Ian Jury named him that. He's actually called John Leslie.
Okay.
That's a long, boring story, but...
What about you playing sports?
Are we talking now? Are we on air?
We're on air.
All right, yes, yeah, no, what I was saying about... over there, you know, with you in the States, you know, a jock is like the sort of sporty, tough guy that looks down his nose at the sort of arty, sensitive musician types. And it's very much the same for me in the 70s here. You know, all the guys, people that were into music, never were into sport. But I was into both. And I was very good at sport. I was very good at football, soccer, you call it. Yeah. I was very good at rugby, squash, you know, and I just absolutely loved it. And I loved it in the same way as I love music, you know, sort of just had a sort of crazy similar feel, believe it or not. And one day the pop group supported Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers. But due to whatever reasons, Paul Cook and Steve Jones were playing with the Heartbreakers instead of Jerry Nolan. So it's just Johnny Thunders and I can't remember. But it was in Bristol, and that day I played a game of rugby, and I got a cut all the way up my face, literally ripped right up the front of my face.
Ooh.
But I was totally used to this. And anyway, at this gig, we played, and then a massive riot took place between the two local football fans. People were getting hit by axe handles and all sorts of
Jesus
shit.
Christ.
And Johnny came up to me, and Johnny was in a tiny little... pink sort of Jerry Lee Lewis suit. I said, "What the fuck's happening, man?" And I said, "You're in Bristol. This happens all the time." And he did. And I had this big cut on my face. And years later, when Neil Stevenson, who was actually managing them, the tour manager, said, "We said that was the scariest situation we'd ever been in." And I was just thinking about Johnny and all his guns and his drug deals.
Yeah,
but it was one, you know. But that was it. So yeah, you know, I was playing first team rugby at the same time as sort of going out and playing gigs with the Heartbreakers. So there you go. That must be pretty unique.
Yeah, I think so. Talk about parallel universe.
But then after that, you're like this. Then after I was in a football team, five-a-side football team, with Paul Cook, you know, the Sex Pistols drummer.
Yeah.
Rich Jobson, you know, a band called the Skids.
Oh, yeah, his brother, Curly, helped out Porto for Pyros. That's how I know him.
No, that's right. He's fast, isn't he? Isn't he?
Oh,
dude. You know Richard Jobs, the lead singer? Anyway.
Well, this guy was named Curly. This was one of the brothers.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, Richard was, you know, right handful. And anyway, we were in a sort of big game on a big pitch. And you will not guess who was in goal for us.
No.
One of the most famous rock singers of the 70s.
Rod Stewart.
Have a guess. Pretty good guess, but
okay.
More...
Because I read somewhere Rod Stewart played soccer.
Yes, yeah. Rod Stewart still plays soccer in L.A. He still does.
Wow.
And it was Ian Gillan was in goal.
Oh, wow, the Deep Purple singer.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus Christ Superstar, too, I think. Was he a good goalie?
He was rubbish. He had about 8 or brandies before we'd even got on the pitch.
Oh, God. Okay.
But we had got to the final, so he was pretty good until that point. So, but there you go. There's a little X factor that's most definitely over here now. It's completely cool to be into sport and music and all that shit. But back then,
Jose.
Yeah. I didn't even sort of talk about it, you know. Sort of people go, ooh, that means, you know, that means you're like one of those jock types, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, they started painting their fingernails over here. It was okay. I should say what we played. We started the third hour off with St. Jock, Gary Sager, and the Hungry Ghost. Satan's Lasagna from Mish Kabibble. a buffalo, lady hump, all over the place. From Pedro here, plebes, try, 30, 40 years ago. Joe Brewer, I'm there. Chris Butler, new enemy out of Akron, Ohio, Devo Town. And finally, from Cecilia, Instituto No, with eponymous song, Instituto No. What about this barstool warrior chant? That sounds kind of jock.
Well, that's, you know, for anybody, you know, that, spent a lot of time in ale houses, as we call them over here, there's always a lot of sort of, you know, people that sort of sit pontificating about how things should be better and all that sort of concept of, you know, crying in their beer or sort of moaning, but actually don't get out and ever do anything.
Sure.
And I've come across millions of people like that. I was telling the guy yesterday that the first time I met Nico, she had played with a pop group in a lineup that had Cabaret Voltaire, Linton Crazy Johnson, and us, a venue in London. And the next time, it was a pub in Portobello Road, and I stumbled in, and she was playing pool, and she thought I was Tom Waits. But in that pub, you always had people that were just sort of sat there going on about, you know, how the world should be better and all this sort of stuff. So, it's just that sort of concept of sort of people sort of moaning and not really doing anything about it. But I don't want to explain it, man.
Let's listen.
left behind. All receivers vanished, no message to be heard. Revisits and revisions reach a point beyond absurd. Temporary treaties now, exchanges have been slowed. Contemplating memories we've sent through remorse code.
Hey, you know what, Gary? We just had some pilot air. I forgot to hit the record button. What a dumb fuck. Anyway, that was Barstool Warrior Chant, Kara Sager and the Hungry Ghosts. Minnie Mal from Bird Perverts, who are Hudson Valley, upstate New York. Middle of Pennsylvania, Lancaster Way, Remorse Code from Encode. Oswald Dovey, Wrong Song. That's Andrea living in Czech Republic. And Gary Sager and the Hungry Ghost finally with Pete LaBeat. I'm not going to ask you who Pete is, but I am going to ask you if you're going to go tour this.
Well, we're going to try. You know, I haven't got the sort of fantastic bottle you have to just jump in a van, and you've got a couple of compadres that you can willing to sort of go all over the universe with you. So I got to find some other sort of a fantastic way of dragging Pete the Beat around the this muck hole with me. So yeah, hopefully it'll be out there. And I mean, it's fantastic live stuff. As I said, you know, when you've got a drummer you love playing with, to be honest, you can just play anywhere, and you know you're going to whip it out. You know, I have complete confidence if I play with that guy that, you know, whoever's there is going to hear something special. You know, they might not want to, but they're going to get it.
You're going to move the crowd.
Yeah.
You're going to move them. And then you need some glue. You need some glue, something to cement the kick drum to those guitar strings. So you need a bass man. Yeah. I know there's bands that do without basses. I've heard of this. They got more room in the van, right? More room in the boat. But I always think of that poor, lonely kick drum.
That's a very poetic way of hearing it, Mike. Yeah, very, very impressive. Yeah, okay.
You know,
you've, to your credit, found some brilliant way of sort of making this thing work. And it's
being the grout. You know. We call it grout here, right? The stuff between the bricks, the grout, between the tile. Yeah. I guess it's called mortar.
It's grouting over here as well, baby. That's what we call it, grouting.
Okay. Yeah. I think most people, they go to the head and they look at the tile. Me, I look at the grout.
Yes. And all the shit in there.
To help hold it together. Look, it's been a big honor for me to have you on the show once again. True together. I think you guys, safe season, like, plow hard. Yeah. If you get your cats out there, it'd be bitching if you could come to the U.S., people, check out the Freaks of You website. Look them up on use that Google search engine, GARETHFAGER. He's got whole history of music and is righteous. And thank you again, Gary, to be on the show so much. And in February, I might be in your part, so maybe you come down to Cafe Auto.
Yeah, most definitely get in touch. You've got my email now, so.
Right. Okay,
let
brother.
Me know. I'll keep my ears and eyes out.
Okay, thanks. It's been the September 13th, 2018 edition of Wap Fever Show. People, keep your powder dry.